You know, and speaking of these farmers today, you don't talk about horses. I don't consider what a horse is. They just get on a tractor seat and push a button, brrr, and off they go across the I know something about a horse. And I heard of a farmer who hitched up a horse and a mule one time. And they get along fine. The horse was willing to pull it on, and the mule was perfectly willing to let him. Glory to God. And back in those days, today, you know, they have machines. They move the machine in between the cow and they... And then they stand back and watch it milk the cow. Back in my day, we had to get a three-legged stool and sit down on it. And then if you had the right kind of a cow, she'd probably kick you or try to lay down on you. We had them. I was milking cows from the time I was 7 years old. And I was on the dance hall floor from 7 years on, too. I knew all the steps. I was going to say from the time I was born or able to walk. My grandfather operated in a dance hall. And you know, with this, our modern Pentecost, they've tried to get that thing back in. And I balked. I said, you know, that's what I was saved out of. Don't try to feed me that stuff. I was saved from that stuff. I knew all about it. And I'm so thankful tonight that Jesus knows what he's doing.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He knows what he's doing. I had a problem when I first came to the Lord, or was thinking about coming to the Lord. I had a real problem. I probably have mentioned it here. But I couldn't see where I could just come to the Lord and be saved and have nothing to do with it. I thought I had to do something. Now, of course, I did have to do something, but it wasn't what I was thinking of. I thought I had to do something. Maybe run around the church 7 times or anything. Something. I had to do something about it. Certainly, salvation wouldn't be given to me just out of the clear blue sky. Well, then I found out something. And I didn't get any place with that idea. I just didn't get any place. I wasn't getting anywhere. Until I found out that it was all paid for. You know, that's a wonderful thought. Have you ever had any experience where you came up someplace, you went into a ritzy place to eat, and somebody's along with you, and then come to find out it was all paid for? You were wondering, worrying all the time you were eating whether or not you're going to have enough money to pay for it. Or whether they had a Visa card or something. You know, there are a lot of things that you run into like that. But I'm so thankful tonight that it was all paid for.
Glory.
Every bit of the price, Lord. Everything was paid for to the satisfaction of the one that I had to deal with. We read in the 19th chapter of the Gospel according to John, just a verse or two there. In the 28th verse, after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. And there was that set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with the vinegar, put it up on hyssop, put it to his mouth. And when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Now, if it hadn't been for that, I don't know what any of us would do. You couldn't take care of it by running around the church 7 times. You couldn't take care of it by just pulling on your own bootstraps and saying, well, now I've got to do this, period. There's no question about it. I'm going to make this. I'm going around and going to do something. I'm going to get myself in there some way. It will never work. But when Jesus said it's finished, it was really finished. I mean, the sacrifice is made. The price is paid. Amen. I know there was a work to be done yet, and we read about it in the book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles, where the Lord worked on, and he's still working on today.
Yes.
But that price was paid. From the very beginning, there had to be, in the economy of God and the plan of God, there had to be blood spilt. There had to be blood spilled. And it was an awful lot of blood spilled. I often thought of it. Now, around that tabernacle, for instance, where they burned all of that stuff, you know, here at camp one time, they used to burn the garbage. You know that? And when the wind was just right, I would think I was living in Canarsie. Now, Canarsie is a wonderful place to live. A wonderful place. I don't want to discourage anyone if you want to live in there. But there is a garbage dump out there. And if the wind is just right, we get the full benefit. And I often thought of it, the work or the plan and the way they did in the tabernacle times, burning that, there must have been, well, it's hard for me to think that the Lord would allow something like that, but he did. And it must have been quite a, not an aroma, but something. It wouldn't be too pleasant. But there was an awful thing that was happening. Death was there. There had to be death. There had to be blood spilled. Blood, blood, blood. From the very beginning, it seems, blood had to be spilled. And when, I think we mentioned it not too long ago here, Job's experience. That was one thing he did. When his children, and I marvel at Job for this, he had a real interest in his family, in his children. And they were grown up children. It sounds like to me they were grown men and women. And whenever they had a party at one of their homes, Job always brought an offering to the Lord. He said, just in case my children have sinned. Just in case my children have sinned. You know, he was very careful to take care of everything like that. So his family, he was very careful about his family standing in good with the Lord. And blood was spilled all the way through. It seems to me there's a red line all the way through the Bible. Blood, blood, blood had to be spilled. And of course we know that it all pointed forward to that time when the real Lamb of God would be killed. We look at the Jews and say, you nasty people. You went and killed the Lord. You went and killed Jesus. You had him crucified. Now, they don't want to listen to that today, and I don't blame them. I remember a number of years ago, a man came where I was working, and he was a fellow off the road, and I was alone, and he didn't look, he was a kind of rough-looking fellow. But in those days, it didn't matter how they looked. I said something to them about the Lord. And so he exploded immediately. He was a Jew. I didn't know it. I didn't notice his nose was different shape. And I didn't know it. I didn't realize it. And he really got upset. And he was angry with anyone who would indicate that the Jews were at fault in the crucifixion of Jesus. And I told him, I said, listen, I says, it was my sins that put Jesus there on the cross. And it was your sins that put Jesus on the cross. We all have sinned. We've all failed God, every one of us. And it's because of that that Jesus had to go to the cross. He didn't have to go there because someone put him there. He didn't have to go there because Pilate was kind of afraid about the Jews and had the consent and washed his hands, you know, so he wouldn't be blamed. He didn't have to go because of that. Why, he could have called a legion of angels to his aid at any time. But that's what he came to do. He came to die. He was born to die. And so you and I are born to die too. We're going to die whether we like it or not. We were born for that. We're born for this life and we live for a while. And I like to think that God has given us this time to get ready for something better. Time when we do have to go. Some of us have a long time. Some of us have a shorter time. We don't know how long we're going to have. But blood had to be spilled. And in the fullness of time, we're told in the Bible, Jesus came. There was a time for everything. And that fullness of time came, and Jesus was born and lived just like you and I lived. I suppose he had to learn to walk. I suppose he had to learn to speak. I don't suppose he could talk when he was first born. Couldn't walk. And I suppose he had to learn to walk just like we had to learn to walk. We had to learn by the mistakes we made. You don't remember, and I don't remember either, I suppose, how many times we fell down before we finally were able to walk. I remember our own children. I remember what happened there. But they didn't lay there. When they went down, they got back up again. It was a good thing. They'd never learned to walk otherwise. And we get up again. And we have to take the same kind of an attitude in our Christian experience. If we make a mistake, did anyone here make a mistake any time?
No.
No, nobody ever made a mistake. Well, then you don't listen to me. You just close your ears. I'll talk to the fellow across the lake. But if we make a mistake, we dare not, and the Lord does not want us to just sit down and bemoan the fact, oh, I've made another mistake. Terrible. I guess I'll give up. What's the sense? No use trying anymore. Might as well stop now. I'm so glad that the Lord has made provision for me and for you.
Hallelujah.
That if we sin, we have an advocate with the
Thank
Father,
you, Lord.
Jesus Christ the righteous.
Thank
and you.
You
know those verses in the first chapter of 1 John, the ninth verse, toward the end of the chapter anyway, it says, if we confess our sins. I used to think that was for the sinner. You know, the downright. Now that was the verse that God talked to me about and dealt with me and sort of brought me through into something. That was the very verse. So I had an idea that, but you know, he was writing to Christians. John was writing to Christians. Now why would he write to Christians like that? If we confess our sins, he, Jesus, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Glory to God. So if I've made a mistake, if I got mad, you know, when you were speaking about that, I thought of some experiences I had. You know, let me see. How many years ago was it? 50? But anyway, I was speaking one Sunday morning, and this was something I never did before, and I haven't done it since. But the Lord indicated that I was to read the book of James out loud. Now, I suppose you all know what James says. So I read it. That's all I did. I didn't say anything. I didn't make any comments. I just read the book of James. And so after the meeting was closed, I was out shaking hands at the door. And there were a couple ladies that went out, elderly ladies. They were able to walk, yet they were young enough for that. And they went out. I didn't think they looked very happy. But anyway, I didn't have to have hearing aids then. But as they walked down the the street, up front of the church, I heard them say, "He didn't have to read that." I knew the reason for the Lord wanting me to read it. You know, that was interesting to me. There wasn't anything wrong with them. They were all right. They hadn't done anything wrong, but they were bothered about that. That book of James, I think that was one book that they would like to tear out of their Bible. Maybe they did, too. For fear somebody might see it and read it. Or they might be tempted to read it. Very, very interesting. Another interesting experience we had one time. This was a girl again. Well, all girls aren't bad. But this happened to be a girl again. And she got upset about something. Well, I knew something about her. She was kind of a bad egg. And so whenever she was around, I was very careful what I said. I don't invite any of those contacts, you know, any of those places where people get stirred. I kind of stay clear of those if I can. And anyway, she got upset about something. And she got on the phone. You ever had anybody like that get on the phone with you? Well, when she got through with me, I made it to the first chair, and that's about as far as I got. She told me, she says, "I know I lie." But she was professing Christian, though. She says, "I lie." Well, I knew that. She didn't tell me that. I knew that, of course. But I wasn't talking about that. I wasn't paying any attention to her. You know, some people feel themselves very important. They think the preacher's always talking about them. They're very important people. You have to be important if the preacher's going to be talking about you all the time. Glory to God. I thought tonight, and at this time, all of you folks here, and you've been hearing a lot of these things. This last talk that was given, that was right down on the spot, wasn't it? It didn't leave anything out. Did she miss anything? I don't think so. She hit about everything. And you know, we need to hear those things.
Amen.
We really do. We need to hear those things. And I didn't see one red ear here, because I couldn't see all of you. That's when you get mad, your ears get red, doesn't it? I didn't see one red ear. Well, that speaks well. That means that you're doing something about it, or at least you're accepting it and saying, "Lord, just tell me the truth. That's what I want to know. I want to know the truth. And it's me, oh Lord, why, let me have it." Glory to God.
Amen.
You know, that person's going to get someplace.
That's right.
They are. They're going to get someplace. If we bow at the word of the Lord is having an opportunity to do something for
yes.
us.
Amen.
Glory to God. And if we reject it, well, he has to just leave us alone. And he will. He'll let us go. Go ahead. Do your thing. Glory to God. But I'm thankful tonight that the Lord loves us.
Yes.
And you know, he came to pay the price. He came to take care so that you and I could come into the presence of God. You know, when he died, that old veil was just ripped from the top to the bottom. Now, before that time, only the high priest could go in there once a year. And he had to take blood for himself first, and blood for the people. That was the only contact that they had with God. That was the only way they could get in there. You and I couldn't get in there. But after Jesus died, that veil was broken open, torn open. And now, you and I, because of the blood of Jesus Christ, we have come to Jesus, and he's cleansed us from our sins. And tonight, you and I can come into the very presence of God because Jesus paid for it.
Hallelujah.
And opened the way.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm so thankful for that tonight. Glory to God. There was no hope, no way for me at all. I couldn't do anything that I could be accepted with God. And I'm so thankful to know that Jesus paid for it. Paid it all. He paid it all. Glory to God. And now, everyone can come. And I like that next verse after that 16th chapter of John. The 16th verse of the third chapter of John. I like that next verse too. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved.
Yes.
That includes me, and it includes you. Glory to God. He didn't come to condemn us. I think sometimes people think that that's what we're doing when we talk about these things, say these things. You're just kind of condemning me. You're kind of just reminding me of things that I ought not to be doing. And, you know, taking that, I think they kind of feel that way sometimes, but Jesus didn't come to condemn us, and he doesn't condemn us. You remember that woman that they brought to him, caught in the very act? You know why those fellows left? I think they had something to do with it. At least it was a put-up job. They were trying to catch Jesus in something. But when he inquired of that woman and said, "Where are those who are accusing you?" They're all gone. "Neither do I condemn you," he said. But he said something else. "Go and sin no more." He shut the door to that thing. "I don't want you to continue on in your sins now. I don't want you to continue on just doing the same thing over and over and over. And I'm so thankful you don't have to do that." And I think sometimes there are religions, very large religions in the world, that seem to leave people with that kind of an idea. Just confess, you know, make your confession, but you have to come back the next day because you are sinning. Isn't it wonderful that Jesus has made a way for us so that we don't have to continue on in our old way?
Praise God.
We don't have to continue on doing like we always did. Glory to God. Jesus paid the price, and he opened the way into the very presence of God. And he said, if you do sin, I owe you have an advocate. Just confess your sin to him, to Jesus. And he says, I forgive you. Glory to God. And I'm sure that he is not making an arrangement so we just going on doing the same thing. Anyone who does that, I think, who comes to Jesus under the arrangement that God has arranged for them, I think they really want to be delivered completely, and the Lord does that for us. Glory to God. But you know, the majority of people, I think, and I suppose we ought to just speak about Pentecost tonight, because the other folks across the lake, and they have their own problems. We have our own problems here. And so we ought to just address ourselves about these things. And I think that a great many of Pentecostal people just ride over the things that we've been hearing here. In fact, they probably don't hear them very much. I doubt very much if they heard very much. And so, the thing never bothers them. But I'm glad tonight. I'm glad that I was born into the family of God, into a fellowship like this, where we hear the Word of God, where it's not held back. We call, when you get mad, we call it getting mad. We don't call it righteous indignation. We say, you just get mad. And some of the other things. We give it the same name the Bible gives it. And I'm glad for that. I'm glad that I'm in a place. I'm glad for the things I've heard since I've been here. You know, it sort of puts me on the grindstone a little bit. Sharpens me up a bit. It makes me to realize why these things are serious. If I want to be ready for the coming of the Lord, then I'd ought to line up with the Word of God. Now, don't you think that's important? Glory to God. And I'm so glad tonight that it's not a matter of my pushing and trying, and you know, you just get in a dither. I don't know what that word means, but it sounds kind of funny. You just get all wrought up and you don't get any place. It's like the, my wife a number of years ago was telling a story. I never forgot it. I don't know the whole story. I don't know how the application was, but I know the people in it. It was a man with a wooden leg. And he was trying to walk someplace, and there was a knot hole in the floor, and so he got his peg leg in that knot hole, and he kept on walking, but he was just going around in a circle. And you know, we might find ourselves doing the same thing. Jesus paid it all, and he paid a price, a wonderful price, that we might have the victory all the time.
Yes. Hallelujah. Amen.
We don't have to go on in our old ways. We may stumble along for a while, we may have to learn to walk, but you know we have a wonderful helper.
Amen.
And a faithful one.
Glory.
He gives us his word. He shows us what we should do.
Thank you, Lord.
He calls our attention to some of the things that we may kind of skip over, don't realize. He's faithful.
Yes.
Amen.
And he has the victory for us.
Glory.
That's the wonderful part about it. I'm so glad tonight that Jesus paid the price, not only to cleanse me from my sins, but to cleanse me from the things that are in me that make me to do things that are not right. Or it isn't like murdering anybody or anything like that, you know. I wouldn't think of killing anybody. I never got that mad. I mentioned it the other night, I think, about murmuring. And I was talking to somebody about these things.